Okay, we are on Samach Beis Amud Aleph. Rachmiel. Samach Beis Amud Aleph. We're talking about the person that's making challah betara. So we said, or he's pressing the aloes betara. He has to get them before they ever were processed, and then he processes them, and he moves the challah into a leather flask that's not makabel tuma, or he moves the oil into his own kelim, a kelim shochaver, and he gives it back to the amaras, and he tells them, don't touch it. So the Gemara asked, maybe he will touch it. So the Gemara answered that they told them that if you touch it, it goes back to being tevel. So the Gemara asked, maybe he doesn't care. So the Gemara answered, if he didn't care, he wouldn't be coming to the chaver, right? So therefore, he takes the warning seriously. There is a shaila in the achrayim, before I move on, whether this is real or not. What happens if he does touch it? Is it just to scare the guy that it goes back to tevel, but it really doesn't? Or is it a conditional separation? He's separating on a condition that the Amar doesn't touch it, and if he does touch it, it voids the separation to begin with, is the machloikas achrayim. Because he tells the Amar, if you touch it, it goes back to being tevel. Is that a way of scaring the Amar? Which is, that's the reason it's done. But what happens if the Amar did touch it? He told them, if you touch it, it goes back to tevel.
I thought he says he doesn't have to be concerned if he touches it.
What?
I thought he says he doesn't have to be concerned.
Because he won't touch it. What if he did touch it? Meaning, we're assuming that warning will suffice to keep the Amar from touching it. But what happens if he did touch it? So now the challah became tameh, the truma became tameh. But is it still challah or truma? Or is this a real threat? When he told them, if you touch it, this is what happens. Is that a real threat? Or is that just a frightened Amoritz? But in reality, there's no such thing. It doesn't go back to Kavel again. He separated the challah. So it's a machlokes achrayim. Some say it's just a threat, but it really doesn't bear any. If the Amoritz touched it, it's still challah, it's still truma, it's tmeya, but it's still challah and truma, and it has to be treated as such. And some say that the separation is conditional. It's a real threat. He tells the Amoritz, you should know, you'll mess yourself up. Now, that usually deters the Amoritz. But there will always be the exception of the Amoritz that will touch it.
The Chaver, forget about Amoritz for a second. The Chaver, he had Chala, okay? And then the Amoritz comes and it has to be wet, right?
Chala is usually wet. It's dough.
After it was separated. After it was separated.
Once it's wet, it's Makabel Tumah, whether it's wet or not.
Already separated. It's regular challah from challah. Then Amoritz comes and touches it, okay? Forget about the whole story. Just a regular case of challah that's very good.
I'm so waiting. I've heard you. Yes.
Amoritz touches it.
It becomes tameh.
Okay, so why should this be different?
Because he told, again. In a person, we tell the guy, listen, the Talmud Chacham is separating for the Amoritz. He's not allowed to help the Amoritz make challah tameh or truma tameh.
Yeah.
But we made an exception here because he has to make a living. But we wanted to put into place a system that prevents the challah and the truma from becoming tameh. So the way we did it is you put it into certain kalim and you warn him, if you touch it, you're ruining the whole thing.
So why is my case different?
Because if a chaver separates challah, why isn't Amar touching it? What?
He did it. He says, you know what?
You're right. It does.
Okay.
But that's... What are the chances in an Amoritz touching somebody else's challah or touching his own challah?
It's irrelevant.
Of course it's irrelevant. Very relevant. If you separate challah as a chaver, you'll make sure an Amoritz doesn't touch it.
But my case, he did touch it. For some odd reason, he touched it.
So it becomes challah tameh.
Okay. So there's no reason why it should be any different than the case of the Gemara.
Again. Let's try one more time. What are you warning the Amoritz? The Gemara asked the Kasha, how do we allow the chaver to do it for the Amoritz? Isn't the Amoritz going to touch it?
He's scared.
Why is he scared? What's he scared of?
It'll become tummy.
No, it's not true. He doesn't care.
But But that's what he does care in this case. He wants to
cover
for a reason.
Again, the Gemara, let's try. Okay, so let's try. No, I understand. Let's try. The Gemara says that we tell him if you touch it, it becomes tevel again. Meaning, I separated your challah, but if you touch it, it's not challah anymore, and whatever you gained by having me separated is over and done with.
Right. The Gemara says that?
Yes. Right across from the Taisus, Ain. Go up one line. The lake is Dominagaba. Let's be afraid he might touch it. The Amina lake, Chazi, you should see, in Nagasba, if you touch it, Hadra Latimla, it'll go back to being Tevo. Nothing will be accomplished.
The Rebbe's story yesterday was
Frek the Gemara. Frek the Gemara. The lake is Dominagaba. Maybe he doesn't care if it becomes tevel again. Dr. Gemara, Hashtaluskuda, Kamachav, Mikbasle, Yachbasle? What do you mean he doesn't care? He obviously cares. He came to take care of it. Right? Now, the Gemara said that we threaten him. That's how we avoid him touching it. We threaten him. We tell him, if you touch it, it's going to become tevel again. Well, that's the... Here we go again. That's what we tell the Amoris. Now, what if he went ahead and touched it? This is deterring him. 95% of Amoratim will not touch it based on this threat. Now, what if he did touch it? So it's a machlokes. It's not great.
Why?
Because you...
It's a fact of life. He touched it. It's no different than my story.
Again,
he touched it.
Again, let's step back again. What is the threat?
The threat is don't touch it or become tevel. Okay?
Now, whoa, stop! Is that a true threat or not a true threat?
It's a true threat.
It's not true. You just said it's not true.
Magical.
It won't become tevel.
You separated already.
It's not your case it wouldn't become tevel.
What would it become?
Kala Tamea.
You can give it to a
coin? He has to burn it. He can't do anything with it. Again, back to the question. We threaten him. The Gemara says we threaten him.
He doesn't want it to become a either.
Again, but that's obviously not of a deterrent. Because he doesn't view himself as Tamea. Even though he can't.
He does, because he went to a cover for a reason. He said that yesterday's
okay,
story.
Okay, we'll try one more time. Okay, you're asking a half decent question, but you're not listening to the Gemara. I can't help you. Again, the Gemara said he came to the Chavar. Chavar separated Batara. Now he feels he can give it to a Kohen Chavar. That's what he gained on the deal. He doesn't care about Tumatara Batam. He views himself as Tahar and Amoritz. Except he knows that the Kohen Chavar will never trust him. So in order for the Kohen Chavar to trust him, he has a dumb Batara. Now, he now has a Hechsher, and now it's in the Keli. What's to stop him from touching it? He doesn't view himself as Tamei anyway. What's to stop him from touching him? How could the Kohen Chavar accept it based on the Hechsher when the Hechsher did not have a Mashgiach Tzmidi? Because the minute he gave it back to the Amoritz, we're back to where we were. The whole purpose of this deal was that he should be able to give it to Avram Cohn, a Kohen Chavar. But now, Avram Cohn can't trust it anyway. Because the minute the chaver, the guy who made the dough, put it into other keli and gave it back to the Amoritz, what's to stop the Amoritz from touching it? He doesn't care. All he wants is the Hechsher. He got the Hechsher.
He's not going to eat it once he knows what fact he just said. He's not going to eat it once he knows what fact he did.
So what do we gain with this whole deal?
Nothing.
And for the Gemara, yes, we do. The Gemara made the deal. That means the Gemara obviously thinks it works. That we warn him, if you touch it, it'll become tevel again. And that he doesn't want to happen, because if it becomes tevel again, he's lost his hechsher. He understands, it's tevel now.
Now Avram Cohn's going to eat it because
he's not.
He was threatened, though.
Yes, exactly. This threat will deter him.
That's enough.
Frek the Gemara, who says he cares about the threat? And for the Gemara, he obviously wanted to do this well. So the threat will keep him from touching it, because then it messed up his whole thing. It became tevel again.
So the machlokas is whether this is a true, is the threat is actually true or it's just a fake threat.
Exactly. I'm not sure what's bothering Rabbi Cohn.
It doesn't matter.
Why are we threatening him?
But bottom line is, Rebbe started this year today and said, what happens
if he touches it? Right.
That's a fact. He touched it at the end. I don't care if it was a threat. He didn't care about the threat, and he touched it.
Right.
Why should it not be a problem?
It's definitely a problem. Because how much of a problem is it?
Yeah, so what are the different options of how much?
Either it becomes Chala Tamea, or it becomes Tevel Tamea.
Okay. But it's going to be a problem, no matter what.
Again, we told him it's going to become Tevel. That's our threat.
So the Machlokas is
Chala Tamea doesn't scare him.
So the Machlokas is it Tevel Tamea or Chala Tamea?
Correct.
That's all.
But that's a pretty big Machlokas.
I thought Rebbe started the shir saying...
I don't know what you mean by what's that's all.
Off the phone, I thought Rebbe, the second thing Rebbe said was, or maybe it's not any problem. That's not true.
No.
In this Machlokas, both sides of the Machlokas hold that it's possible to make a condition that it could affect the Tevel.
At least one side of that made him hold that way. They say that you can set... Well, let's go through this again. Let's step aside for a second. Some people are makpat to say Magen Avraham's man Kriyashma. Right? But they don't want to lose Kriyashma with the brachas. So they make a tenai. If the Magen Avraham is right, I'm being yaitza Kriyashma. If the Gra is right, I'm not being yaitza Kriyashma. I'll be yaitza Kriyashma in the Zman of the Gra. How does that work? Okay, so what's the difference here? Do you make the challah out tonight?
So clearly Amish should say you can make it
tonight. Others say just a threat, and they didn't make it out tonight. The question is, what are Chazal saying when you threaten them? That you should make it out tonight, or you just threaten them? That's all. It's a big shiloh, by the way. I mean, I'm not going to get into it now. It's a big shiloh about mitzvah out tonight. Because it's not a chalais. You can make kinyanim al tanai. To do a mitzvah al tanai is a big chiddush. I'm being yoyt to the mitzvah if this is the halacha. Not I'm not having kavana. It's like it's a more difficult kind of tanai. But the Velt Tzaymach on it. By matzah, Pesach night, people that are running late, eat one ksayas, make a tanai. Obviously, the Velt Tzaymach, you can make a tanai mitzvah. Not everybody agrees that you can do that. You do a ma'aseh mitzvah. You did a ma'aseh mitzvah. If kavana to be yaitzah, if this, if not, it's like, is kavana susceptible to tanai? Kinyan is where the Torah talks about tanai. It never mentions tanai in the Gemara on a ma'aseh mitzvah. It always mentions it on a kinyanim. Again, first of all, we pass kavana to kavana is a suffix, number one. Number two is, but if you don't want to be yaitzah, for sure you're not yaitzah. Again, it's a big chiddush, but everybody says it. The Torah wrote tanai by kinyanim. The Gemara discussed it tanai by kinyanim. I don't remember, and Rabbi Schutz will correct me if I'm wrong, if the Gemara ever discusses doing a mitzvah tanai. It always discusses a get and a kedushin and a sale and a all kinyanim. You can make a kinyan out tanai. Chiddush haTorah, because be'etzem tanai doesn't make any sense. You're doing an action and you're limiting the action by words. So it's a chiddush haTorah. You can make conditions and things. It's in kinyanim. I don't remember any Gemara that says that the guy does a ma'aseh mitzvah al tanai. Keep going through Shas now. He'll check it out for me. Computer will do the job. I don't remember. It's a chiddush. Now, Chayim are saying you can do a ma'aseh mitzvah and make it tanai. Now, separating challah might be a kinyan. It might be a kinyan. It might be different than Kriyat Shema Matzah. Because you're making it mamon kayin. You are giving it to kahuna. That can be done conditionally. That's different than Kriyat Shema Matzah. Kriyat Shema Matzah is not a kinyan at all. It's a chiddush to say that you can do an action of a mitzvah and make it conditional. I'm just saying it's a chiddush. That's why I didn't say it. They don't need Yitzchak Bar Yoret and Zaskama. I'm just saying it is a big chiddush, because in the Gemara, I don't think you ever find it. Challah is easier, because challah is a kinyan. You're giving it to, it's not just a ma'aseh mitzvah. Separating challah is making it mamon kayin. Not a specific kayin, but mamon kayin. So there is a certain kinyan that is happening, and that you can do conditionally. But it's a big chiddush to say by kriyat shema, by matzah, I'm doing the mitzvah on condition. Again, but achrayim say it. Bigger achrayim say it. A lot of big achrayim say it. They don't need my haskama.
Challah and truma are much more kosher than a normal mitzvah. But challah and truma, even if it was a vadai, you could be sure on it. You could undo
right.
the whole thing.
Right. 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 You can't undo kriyishma. Correct.
That's one thing. And then the second one is when he's marked to the claimants, is that with the subject claimants, the committee person, we say, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that could they do the shem. The shem, the chachamim, they say he makes a try over there if it's going to the shem ishim or the shem.
And how he's marked it on the mizbeach.
And that he comes out of a mighty mitzvah or not, Is that right?
Interesting. It might be a raya. I have to think about it.
This threat, though, he's giving him. He's talking about the rest of the dough, not just his challah.
Well, if it's not challah, it's negating the rest of the dough. The rest of the dough, he's going to touch anyway. He's going to touch the rest of the dough.
Yeah, but he went to be masher.
Again, that's why the threat is a deterrent. My question was. It is a deterrent. What happens if he doesn't care about the deterrent? That was the question. Okay. We're up to Amar Mar, which is right across Tysus. No, we did that already. The other Amar Mar. Go across Tysus Ain and move down two or three lines. Three lines. Amar Mar. This was by Chala, where you put it in a leather flask and told him, if you touch it, it's going to go back to Tebel. Now we're going to the next case.
The Olive case?
Now we're going to the olive case. We haven't discussed the olive case.
Well, we just mentioned that you put them in plastic too before.
That was only by the dough case. By the olive case, it said you put it in the candle of shochavah.
Right, exactly. Those are different?
Well, see, that's what the Gemara is going to now. Well, it's different because the leather flask is his leather flask. And the candle of shochavah is your keli. And Taisha speaks out, you can't put oil into one of those things, it won't hold it. It's not made to hold liquid. Whatever it is, Tysus holds its wooden things. Rashi says it's leather.
Is it because it's worn out? What was the purpose of that?
What? That's why it's not Makabal Tumma.
Is that a keli, you mean?
That's the Shaila, correct. Not halachically a keli, that's Makabal Tumma.
It's rounding.
Again, I don't know if it's Kabbalah Tumma well enough. Rashi's saying it's in the situation where it's not Makabal Tumma.
I understand that part, but why is he putting it into the leather flask? It's so he won't touch it.
It's not sealed.
I just imagine.
It's a reminder. Yes. Amar Mar Neidle Menu Kadei Truma Manicha Bekelim Shochaver. And he puts it in the Kelim of the cover. The lema leches do menagaba. Now the Gemara explains itself. Bishloy mahatzam by the chala is the hekera. There's a heker. He's put into certain keli that's not makabel tumah. Therefore, it's a reminder to the amaretz that he was threatened that he better be careful. You're putting it into a regular keli, so it's owned by somebody else. Why is that a heker? And for the Gemara, the manach lay, b'kli glolim, b'kli avanim, or b'kli adama. You put it into kinds of kalim that are not makabel tumma. Stone kalim, dirt kalim, or glolim, which is a shayla what it means. Rashi, I think, here doesn't explain it. Elsewhere, Rashi says made out of waste material of animals. And that's not makabel tumma. So therefore, it's a reminder. So if you have to put it into special kalim, and that's the reminder, why does it have to be owned by the chaver? The amaretz's keli is also not makabel tumma. Right? Just like the leather flask was something that was not makabel tumma, and you gave it to the amaretz, and you didn't have to be worried, because it would remind him. Over here also it's a reminder. You're putting it into certain kalim that are not makabel tumma. So why does it have to be yours? Why can't it be his? Not tummy anyway. Dr. Gemara, Hachinami, you're right, Kamar. That's exactly what we mean. We don't mean put it into your kalim. Put it into kinds of kalim that any chaver would use because it's not makabel tumma.
There's a lot clearer way to explain that.
You'll write the Gemara letter. You'll write the Brisa letter. What am I supposed to do? I have to read the Gemara to explain it. I can't change the Gemara.
Yeah, but in the first place, he made this tonight. Second case,
same thing. Same thing. All we wanted to know is, by the first case, we also had a reminder. What's the reminder here?
Right, right.
That's all. Same case.
We're taking on that he made it.
Yes, same case. Rashi.
It's not enough reminder that he's using someone else's cable, correct?
That's right. That doesn't seem to be a reminder. Correct. Dr. Rashi, Bishlai Ma'asim got a chal ikekeria, shenicha bekelim, she'ein anisuyim, lanich bamisa. You usually don't put dough there. And then he remembers that they warned him. It reminds him of the threat. Ella, where am I up to? Amaya Keris like the Litker. Between Lalim Chain and Makabal Tumma. The Naga Bakleel and Makabal Tumma. Ubi Isa Gufa Isla Hekera. He has the hacker. Shemani Kalim. Shain and Ragalush Tamizbab. You don't usually keep oil in these things. Amaris La Akmarabon and Alay Kula Hai. The Shabian Kazav Gamma Lutama Bamasa. Rashi's answering a question that he could have asked at the beginning. Why isn't Amaris Matamit? Because he's carrying the Kali. And a Zav carries something, anything in it becomes Tameh. So even though the Kali is not Makabal Tumah, why isn't the food being Makabal Tumah? Because they were Gaijin and Amaris to be like a Zav, and a Zav is Matamit B'masa. So Rashi, they didn't go so strict with an Amaris. Even though they said Amaris is Tameh, like a Zav, not to the point that he's Matame by carrying. That's what Rashi is speaking
of. He could have gone to the mitzvah a minute earlier, and he's still considered like a Zav, Allah is
saying. Correct, because we don't trust in Amaris. It's a light plug.
And since I found out this flask is open, what stops you from touching it?
That was the Gemara's kasha. And the Gemara answered, because we threatened him.
But how will anybody know?
Nobody will know. We threatened him. And the threat means something to him.
Something that nobody could find out.
Again, that's called a threat.
Built into the system.
Built into the system. Again, we were moderate only because of need.
I know.
And because of need, we rely on our threat. And a hecker. And the fact that he came to do a batara to begin with. He came to the chavra to do it.
Let's see, this is regular
challah. I just finished the next Rashi. The kalim is a mekabel tumah ruin the chaver. Could use those kalim because they're not mekabel tumah. Yes, I'm sorry. Now you can ask your basic question.
This is basic 102. If he touches a challah, let's say you, since it was wet once, that's enough.
Yes.
That's all. Even though it's dry now.
Any food that became wet, and the person was happy that it became wet. Right, or other conditions that I'm not going to get involved in, because the food becomes susceptible to tuma for the lifetime of the food.
He has to know that here for sure is what that's how you needed it. That's
right, exactly.
Is this Kaylee also for the benefit of the recipient Cohen? He sees that it came in this class, so he knows that this thing was done.
Well, there's a problem here. If you put it into a regular Kaylee and Amaret, the Kaylee is tumay. So how could the kohen accept it if the keli was matami the food?
So it's required. It's a requirement for
it. It's a requirement, right? Correct. And it's also a hecker to Amar that he shouldn't touch it.
If you were a kohen, you would eat it, Rebbe?
What?
Rebbe eat it.
Are you from it in the Gemara? You from it in the Gemara? Why are you asking me? You have a client right next to you.
Well, I know for a fact he wouldn't. Yeah.
Depends what day. Depends what day it is.
Trust me, when you rely on a serum, you're relying on a lot more than this. You know what I mean? The more you know about kashrus, the less you eat. And that's not imputing any specific answer. It's the nature of the... Machzikin yidei akim b'shrias. Okay. Now, the Gemara understood that machzikin means you can help them. You see a guy tilling the field or doing something on Shemitah, you can help him. Frek the Gemara, machzikin. You can help a guy. V'amarav dimi bar shishna mishmei derav. Ein oidim ma'akim b'shrias. You're not allowed to help him dig on Shemitah. You can't work the field on Shemitah, even though the land is owned by a guy. And ain't kaiflin shalom levi kachavim. And you can't say shalom twice to a guy, which is a separate halacha, nothing to do with Shemitah, meaning we allow you to give shalom to a guy and they darak your shalom one time. Don't say shalom, shalom. That's twice Hashem's name. Only say it once, what's necessary. Don't overdo it. When we say machzik, it means we tell them to do a good job. Give them encouragement. Don't work with them. Encourage them. Rav Yehuda told the workers of Shemitah, you should know, have kayach, you know, gave them like a bracha. And Rav Sheshes Amarlu Ashrasa. And Rav Sheshes used the word also, have kayach. You're allowed to encourage them, give them brachas, but you're not allowed to do any work. Rashi?
Encourage them to what?
They can do good work. Good job.
Compliment them. For doing an aver.
It's what? Goyim, they're not mitzvah.
Oh, it's for the goyim. Okay.
Goyim are doing work on Shemitah. Yeah, the Mishnah says you can encourage them.
Who owns the land?
Who owns the land? Pashtas, the guy owns the land. This is a big machlokes. I don't know the halacha as well. I'm not very well versed in Hilchos Shemitah. But there's a big machlokes if a guy owns land, whether it has Kedusha Shemitah or not. It's a machlokes. La halacha l'maisa, it's a machlokes. In Yerushalayim, there's Simech on the fact that a guy owns land and it doesn't have Kedusha Shemitah.
Is the land or the Pirus? The machlokes about the Pirus.
Not the land?
I'm not sure how the
Hetzim Hefira works. I thought it was about the land. And in Bnei Barak, they're Machmer. It's a Machlokes. In Yerushalayim, there's Simech, and a guy owns it. So when you go into Yerushalayim, into a Bedat store, and you're buying fruit, they say it's no problem with Shemitah because they bought it from a guy, from an Arab. And you go into Bnei Barak, you can't do that. Every fruit you buy has Kedusha Shemitah on it. They don't rely on the fact that it comes from Gaia.
What do they do there?
They keep Kedusha Shemitah. They eat it. They don't throw away the peels, throw it rots. It's a whole process. It's a whole process. There's nothing wrong in eating Shemitah fruit. You just have to eat it the right way. Can't waste. You have to eat it. Can't throw it away in the garbage. You have to let it rot. Peels have to rot.
How's it harvested?
Well, people go and that's Eitzebeth. There's a heter called Eitz. What? They don't do Bnei Barak Eitzebeth. What?
The
Goyim
stuff is not Eitzebeth.
The Goyim stuff.
It's for sure. The Goyim stuff is the same. If you have an Eitzebeth, you can't just buy it from the shop. You have to write it to Stav Shlifos before.
Is that what?
Stav Shlifos, then. They're just your shliach to get it from the boy, and you pay them for the
material.
Oh, yeah.
That's like going to fall down there, right?
That's the box. You have to sign us with shliach before. That's not good.
So the stores in Bnei Barak do that?
No, I don't think a lot of stores. Almost all stores do it, but they try to get everyone to carry the safer to do it. But
what?
They try to get everyone to do it and carry the safer also. They want to be back in Bnei Barak. There are a lot of Yerushalmi there. Nothing more every tour.
Is this Shemaim then? Should keep now.
Right. I remember when I was in Etzro way back when at the Bachar, it was Shemitah, and I was in Bnei Barak, and my uncle, wherever I stayed, had a bag where he put the orange peels. You had to put them in until it rots.
I didn't let all of them, because I think it's actually have to do
shit. Right, I'm just saying. But in Shalayim, when I went to Shalayim, I bought in stores that had Goyim, and they were saying they had to have term Goyim.
The oranges. Usually,
You don't have to go to the garden. Same basis, except it doesn't really work as well because chametz you don't use on Pesach when you sell it to the guy, and here they're working the fields. Yeah, at least way in the back of the land. This is a big shiloh. But you can say that had to mechira, and it goes back to the time of the Maral Diskin and the Netziv and the Beit Halevi. They dealt with that shiloh. Today, the common acceptance of the Haredi Olam is not to rely on had to mechira.
Well, we see that. I mean, there's all these ads.
Right, correct.
Part of
the
woman.
Yeah. Okay. Rashi. I assure you donated to the Shemitah, Karen Hashemitah, I'm sure.
You're asking me or you're telling me?
I said, I'm sure you did. I said a statement of fact. Rashi. Adrian Kaifrin. Vain Kaifrin. The other nice them shalom, like a company, dark and shalom, with the sharp, some dark and shalom, because it's in the sagi. One time is enough. Lememr lo achzuku, sha'imr lo isim alocha over malayim, tachzakni yadechem. Your hand should be strengthened. Ashrasa, afu lashon chizuk, kamay shrenu, we approved it. The lashon of chizuk. Not the gemar writer. Ein kaiflim shalom laivin kachavim. Reb Chizda magdim v'yav lushlama. Reb Chizda used to greet them first. Reb Kahana amar lo shlama lamar. Reb Kahana used to say, shalom to the master, he meant to Rabbi Nishleilam. I'm sorry, it doesn't say that, it says rabbi. Some learn it means the master, some meant his own Rebbe, he meant somebody else. Not clear. How does Arsko translate it?
Master.
Does he say what master is?
He
meant somebody else. Rashi, Shlomo Lamar, V'loy Mischavin Levorchoy, Liboy and LeRabbi. Tysus asks, because his name is Das, you're fooling the guy, you're not allowed to fool the guy. That's what Tysus asks in Rashi. What? Right, so that's the answer they give. May the darkest shalom, you can be guided of his das. That's how they answer Rashi.
I mean, what's wrong with just nodding your head?
Again, in those days they said the word shalom aleichem.
Okay, I mean, if you mill a kriya shema and a goy comes over to a person,
meira me'akavet, this whole catalog.
I'm saying, so I'll start your shalom. What's the, why is the difference? But the answer?
Again, you're walking down the street and a guy comes. So Rav Chizda used to say to him, shalom first, so he shouldn't have to say it twice, because the minig was, I say shalom to you, and you say shalom aleichem to me, you say shalom, shalom, as a return. But you want to give me more than I gave you. I gave you a blessing of shalom, and you return shalom, shalom. So he didn't want to tell a guy shalom, shalom, so he made sure to say it first. And Rav Kahana used to say shalom alamar. Mar can be understood many different ways.
Does the guy know that he's using Hashem's name here?
I don't know if the guy knows. You know.
The Arabs, when they say salam alaikum.
I have no idea what the Arabs know or not. I never really interacted with them, and I don't know what they think.
With the guy that they're dealing with here, is there an Arab?
What?
Well, it could be Greeks, could be Romans, could be anything here. That's what we're talking about here.
Gayim.
Shalom aleichem. Is in plural. It's not Shlomo El Rabo. Are we allowed to say Shlomo Aleichem?
They said Shlomo Lamar.
Right, that's what they said over here. But in other words,
do you say Shalom to a guy? I don't say Shalom to a guy. I say good morning.
Yeah, it's Israel. People say
to a guy?
No. Guy would come to say Shalom to me. Shalom.
I would say Boker Tov. I don't know, I walk by guy and I say good morning.
When we say Shalom Aleichem on Friday nights, what are we saying to the angels?
We're welking them, yeah.
So we bless the angels? Or?
We don't bless angels. We don't bless the angels. When do we bless the angels? We just say Shalom to them. Welcome into hell.
So are we really saying Shalom to Hashem?
No, we say Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Hasharis. Listen to the word. Welcome, aleichem.
over here, because he wants to avoid a goy, he says, Levarcha el libo el rabba.
He said the word Shalom
Lamar.
Shalom Lamar. Wait a minute, Friday night has nothing to do with this. You're mixing apples and oranges. What God wants to do it. Friday night, you welcome to my welcome, and here you're greeting a guy. What's the two have to do with each other?
Shalom to Yed. I'm actually asking Hashem to bless him, aren't I?
You are saying to him he should be have peace, correct?
Through Hashem. Hashem is the prophet.
Well, you're using Hashem's name. It's like saying Hashem should bless you.
Right. When I say Shalom Aleichem, when I sing it, what am I actually singing? What am I saying?
You're welcoming the Malachim. I guess you're saying Hashem should give them whatever. Shalom, I guess.
We don't bless Malachim, he said. All right.
Again, we talked to Hashem, right? I don't know.
Goodbye
would
be the same thing.
What?
Goodbye. Be the same thing.
What do you mean?
Because
God be with you.
Right.
That's what it means.
That's what it means, but nobody knows what it means.
Okay, but this is what it comes from.
Word goodbye comes from God be. Thank you. God be with you.
Does that mean good morning also means
God be with you?
In German,
it's the same word.
Well, the Gemara used to say, tap for the Maratov. Weiter. B'shaylem b'shleimam. Frank the Gemara. Hashtag zuke machzikinan. Shaylem b'shleimam miboi. So the Gemara's kasha is, if you can tell them to do something that you're not allowed to do, so just to say greet them, why should that be usher? Meaning, why is that a chiddush that you're allowed to greet a guy? So the Gemara, Amar Rav Yeva, le'nitzcha l'yayim chagam. Even on their holiday. Tanya. You don't want to go in their holiday to their house to greet them, because then they're going to go to Rabbi Zara and say to Rabbi Zara, thank you for having the Jew greet me. You say to them low, not without a big smile, just say good morning or shalom, whatever you have to say. Bachi. Hashtag zuke magzakin and yedeim b'dibura b'davara asel yisrael g'navay d'shvias shaylem b'shloimim ko yimayis hashanam yiboyitz. What's the chiddush? Liam chagam v'loichashin adil ma'asel yimayda. We're not afraid that he'll go and thank his avayda zara v'yikanez v'kibin d'akshirei kulahai. You are machshiv him that you came to his house to greet him. Dil ma'asel yimayda, he'll go thank his avayda zara. That's the Gemara v'ayda. See, in America, it's different. In America, nobody really cares about Avodah Zarah. Care about food. All religion, everything is based on food in America. There's no Avodah Zarah today. Just means an excuse to eat. That's all it is. Right? What's Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is to have a dinner of turkey. It's nothing to do with Thanksgiving.
And also watching sports.
And watching sports, right. Those are in America, religion is totally based on food. Unfortunately, the Havdalah, sometimes by Yidden, it carries over that we're more into the food than we are into the Hanukkah becomes latkes instead of the Hoydus Lahal, the Chas V'Shalom, but I'm just saying. Right.
More Musar.
What?
More Musar.
I wasn't giving Musar. I was saying what the guy meant. The guy said, Thanksgiving by the guy has nothing to do with Thanksgiving. It's turkey and cranberry sauce and pumpkin pie, you know what I mean, or whatever else they eat. All I know is that every Friday night meal was more than a Thanksgiving dinner. They make such a big to-do of preparing that Thanksgiving dinner as if, like, who knows what they're doing. Every Friday night, every Jewish woman prepares more food than a Thanksgiving dinner. What?
The Gyaris, I know, she said, what you didn't do every week for Shabbos is like Thanksgiving and Christmas, so they're going to try to eat.
Exactly. It makes such a big to-do of it.
You want to know her name?
Come out here. Okay. Giyaris, he said. Giyaris.
Oh, I
said very loud. Now, to give my advice. Rav Huna and Rav Chizda Yasri. Rav Huna and Rav Chizda were sitting. Chalav Azu Geneva. Now, if you remember from Dav Zion, Geneva was the one that argued in Mar Ukva, and the question was, could he give him over to Malchus? And he davened, and at the end of the day, Geneva got killed by the government. Well, Geneva passed by. Let's get up, because he's a big time chacham. We should get up with somebody that's about machlokes. While they were discussing it, Geneva walks over to them. Peace to you, kings. Peace to you, kings. He greets them. They had an argument whether they should get up or not. Meanwhile, he walked over and he said, Shalom Aleichem, kings. So he said, you're calling us kings. How do you know rabbis are called kings? Be with me, with Torah, kings become kings. Meaning, anybody that sits and learns Torah is a king. Mamalki Rabbanon. Who are real kings? The Rabbanon are real kings. By the way, we had Geneva before also. Shiloh, which winds? The end of the third parak. The question of the winds. To discuss the winds over there. Which winds are bad and which winds are no good. Bad. We had Geneva over there too. Right. And they had the same Shiloh. The Funan of Chizda, should they get up or not get up? Same two Amaroim had the same Shiloh. And he came and he asked them, what are you learning? And he said, Ruchais. Right. That was the Gemara at the end of the third parak. Now we have Geneva again, third time in the Sechtas. Getting, I think he's one more time. Right. You said to us twice. How'd you learn that you said Shalom Aleichem twice? Meaning, they knew Geneva wasn't going to say what wasn't required. That means if he greeted them and he said, Shalom Aleichem Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem Aleichem, that means kings are greeted with two times Shalom. Where did you get that from? A spirit went into Amasai, the head of the officers, and he said, L'cha David, V'imcha ben Yishai, Shalom, Shalom l'cha. Said twice Shalom to the king, to David. So we learn that to a king you say Shalom twice, and you, Rabbanim, are kings. Therefore I said twice. Amar le mita mar midi, so they offered him food. I'm not allowed to eat till I feed my animals. This is the Rabbi Shlom saying, I will feed your animals. Then it says, which is the halacha, if a person has a pet who requires food, he's mechuyev to feed his pet before he feeds himself, if the pet requires food. If the pet already got fed and doesn't need more food, you don't feed it. Overfeeding a pet is not so healthy.
Cattle?
Any animal, any pet, anything, any animal. Yeah,
fish,
cattle also.
Fish,
goldfish also.
Wow.
If it needs food. I understand you overfeed goldfish, they die. They die anyway, but they die faster.
Were they testing him or just some?
Stop! Talking learning.
No, they do. They had a Leviathan in my house.
What?
They have a Leviathan.
You have a Leviathan in your house? I'm glad you have one.
I'm saying you.
I'm not a goldfish, a nice fish. Okay, yeah, you feed your fish if they need to be fed. I don't know how many times, I don't have fish in my house. I don't know how many times you're supposed to feed them. I have no idea.
You're like your raccoons.
Raccoons. Yeah. Raccoons take care of themselves.
Yes, you're left. How do you think, Garvin?
Flashy. Not now, with the new can, the whole different getter. I mean, like the poor is stung to scarving, starving now.
Starving.
Right. Bashi. Bar Uyim Ben Tyra. Pagal Chaylik Al Gacham, Shem Mitzar Le Mar Ukva, Shoyah Avbezen, Kiramina Be Perikama, like we said in the first Perik. Hadn Allah Hanizakin, Hadn Allah Hanizakin, Hadn Allah Hanizakin. There's an Achlokes Rishaynim, what the sixth Perik's name should be. Is it this Perik? Or is the seventh parak come first and the sixth parak goes after the seventh parak, which means what we call parak 7 should be parak shishi, and what we call parak shishi should be parak shvi. Interestingly enough, the printer decided to put this as the sixth parak, which is Taisa Zashita. Rashi, in a number of places, is clear, as we will see, that Rashi learned that this is the seventh parak, and that Misha Chazai should come first. That's what Rashi seems to learn. Now, the Taisus explains why he thinks it's supposed to be this way. Because Taisus said, we were talking in the fourth parak about a shliach. being mevato or shliach haget. We got involved in tikkun olam. We spent the last 30 blot talking tikkun olam, almost 30 blot, a little less. And now we're going back to shlichus, and this is the perek about shlichus.
The seventh is about Tanai.
We're finished with Tikkun Olam. I don't know. But what?
The first mission in the seventh is also
Shlichus. Is it? Yeah, right. It's also Shlichus, right. Could be. That's what Rashi said. But it's Rashi never says it explicitly. But they bring riots from Rashi, where Rashi says, as it will say later, referring to the sixth Perek in the seventh Perek. I mean, obviously Rashi had this Perek after that Perek. Tysus speaks it out over here. He doesn't bring Rashi. He just says that in Yerushalmi it has it this way, and that Rabbeinu Tam thought this is the way it's supposed to be. Zok the Mishnah. Ha'imer eskabel getzel ishti, ha'elach getzel ishti. So to understand this, I will give a short introduction. A man who wants to divorce his wife can do it by himself. He can hand her a get, or he can point to shliach. The shliach acts as his agent, and the get works when it hits the woman's hand. At that point, it's as if he handed the woman the get. It does not work when he hands it to the shliach. It works when the shliach hands it to the woman. A woman makes a shliach to accept the get. As soon as the get is handed to that shliach, she is divorced. I mean, the shliach l'kabbalah is an extension of her, and the shliach l'halacha is an extension of him. And now we're going to get involved in this who is the shliach of whom discussion. Haimer is kabbal get zalishti. A guy says to a shliach, accept this get from my wife. Now, he can't make a shliach l'kabbalah. He can't say, accept this get and she should be divorced now. He can only make a shliach l'halacha. So when he says his kabel, we say he means take it to her. Because he can't mean accept it for her. Who is he to authorize the guy to accept it for his wife? So he means take it. He uses the word his kabel, but he means his kabel v'halach. What?
Why don't we just say he used the wrong word and therefore it's not
That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. That we say he didn't mean that. He meant take it to her.
So intentions are good enough?
Well, that's why we're translating the word.
The other option is oh holy. It says or he says so they can't be the same thing.
It's different words, but it means the same thing. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. It's a big chiddush. You're right. There could be a havmina saying you can't do this, it's not a shlichus. We say that's what he meant. We interpret his words that way.
Or maybe that's a different definition of the word, an alternative definition.
The Gemara uses that it means iskabo v'haylach.
Iskabo from
the... But he said iskabo, he means iskabo v'haylach.
Iskabo from the man.
But the man's talking.
Right. In other words, iskabo from me, the get.
And take it to her.
Right. So it might be a different definition. That's what I'm saying. I'm suggesting.
It's the same thing. Take it.
Take it from my hand, he's saying to the...
And when he sends it to the woman who's the shliach, the man to the shliach Kabbalah, says, take it. Doesn't have to say anything when he gives it to the shliach Kabbalah. This is talking about get.
It's like a gift, for instance.
Because Zachar loves to slide the fun of. The guy automatically becomes a shliach of the recipient.
So he can't be he can't appoint a makabo for a gift.
Well, it's automatic because as soon as you give it to him, he's zaycha. I mean, as soon as you give it to the guy, he's kaina. Unless you specify not, which is going to be a shaila in the Gemara. Let me just speak out the following. Yerushalmi asked Akasha, what if she screams, I want to get divorced? She wants out. She doesn't need this husband. She made it clear that her intention is divorce. And now he says to a guy, take her the divorce. Is that a schus? When he would say take the present or accept the present, it becomes hers immediately. It becomes the person's because it's a schus. And by schus we say you're an automatic shliach. How about if you didn't say take, the woman wanted to get divorced and you said, here, take it for her.
We said the call before.
She's saying she wants to get divorced.
Going beyond that.
She's telling everybody, I hate this marriage, I want out. The Yerushalmi asked this question. Answer the Yerushalmi, Chashinon Shema Chazrabai. Or Shema Chazrabai, and I forgot the Lashon of the Yerushalmi, I don't want to misquote the Yerushalmi. There's a big machloikas how to learn. Some learn that means we can never know for sure that she wants to be divorced. Since a regular woman doesn't want to be divorced, we say that even if she screams she wants divorce, 5 minutes later she changed her mind. She doesn't really want to get divorced. She said it. She said it, but that's not the regular way for a woman, and therefore we say she changed her mind. This is going to play in later. That's why I'm speaking this out. The Tveres Yaakov explains that the Yerushalmi means to say, Chachamim made it an institution. Women don't want to get divorced no matter what they scream and say. And therefore, it's never a
question. Is there a question that still applies? There's a time when they were dependent on men financially. Now women are, the times have changed. So,
it's a dangerous thing that you're saying. It's unbelievable.
It's true, though, but it's endless. I mean, women now don't
want to get divorced. In the 1970s, there was a rabbi in New York. I'm not going to mention his name. Who came up with your svara?
Yeah.
And he said that today, women, there's no tav lemesav, tandum lemesav armelu anymore. Women are willing to get divorced. They're happier. They're self-sufficient. All your svaras. And he wanted to be matur. Many things. He comes out many different nafkaminas and halacha. So Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, Roshiva of YU, wrote a scathing tshuva against this rabbi. Say, that when Chazal tell you that this is human nature, it is non-changeable. And it was a long tshuva where he ripped the rabbi into shreds, cut him up, and then threw him away. And he said, Chas v'shalom, he was the one that they all respected because he was the chief of YU. So they accepted from him. If Moshe would have written the tshuva, they would have said, that's the Haredim. This is it. He wrote a very, very sharp tshuva saying it's usher to say such a thing. When Chazal say human behavior, it's non-changeable. And everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos.